Okay, our final speaker is Jill Arnold, who is a consumer advocate and founder of The Unnecessarian, a blog and large online community which focuses on patient autonomy, informed consent, data transparency, and other issues related to the U.S. maternity care system and beyond. In conjunction with her work on the blog, Arnold has researched and compiled facility-level cesarean rates for 48 states, which will be published online in December of 2011. She was featured in the 2011 Al Jazeera English documentary, The Risk of Choice, and served as a consumer delegate at the Home Birth Consensus Summit. She is a graduate of San Diego State University.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jill Arnold, and I'm going to be discussing mandated reporting of maternity care utilization data. And I did want to clarify, I actually do not have any financial, I wish I had financial relationships to disclose, but APHA declared those for me, and then we confirmed by email that they are actually not there. So, but yes, if anyone would like to give me a financial reason to disclose that I have, feel free. Let me tell you where we're going to go today. We're going to start with current trends in C-section utilization, current cesarean rate reporting, and the benefits and limitations of the current reporting landscape. What data are accessible to the public, and why access to the data is important, and also how access to information can further birth justice. So the C-section is the most frequently performed surgery in the United States, and the national rate is now 32.9%. And one of the things in my interactions online as the webmaster that never fails to shock people are hospitals with, large hospitals especially, with rates of 50% and over. So this might serve as your second cup of coffee this morning, I don't know. It might be terribly shocking or not if you're in public health. So, the states with the highest 5 cesarean rates in the country all have rates that are pushing 40%. And on a national level, these rates truly are all over the map. So even when we control for patient characteristics or obstetric diagnoses, we see that physician factors are the major driver for the difference in rates within a hospital. And non-medical indications, of course, are always cited for as reasons for the rising C-section rates, such as economic incentives and fear of litigation. So one way to think of it, you forget that as C-sections rise, opportunities for vaginal birth in hospitals decrease. I know it sounds very simplistic, but when you think about it that way, it tells you that opportunities are being denied for vaginal birth. The VBAC rate, vaginal birth after C-section, or cesarean, declined 73% between 1997 and 2006. And as you just heard, about one half of all hospitals ban VBAC. So I had a lot of people, I would say about 5 people, kind of gently pointed out to me that maybe spending 10 minutes of a 12-minute presentation on a really detailed, nuanced comparison of Joint Commission core measures or quality measures and ARC quality indicators wasn't universally fascinating. So I'm going to try to get this all in 2 tables so you don't just glaze over because it is early in the morning. I find it fascinating. What I'm going to do is upload a handout for you so that you can later go back and see the what I've been reading about nonstop for 6 months that I love. So, so the Joint Commission perinatal core measure, PCO2, covers low-risk first-time mothers, and it's often referred to as the NTSV C-section rate. Improvement is measured with a decrease in the NTSV C-section rate. The ARC's inpatient quality indicators they don't use any clinical data, they only use administrative data, and they look at utilization of procedures, and they also cover mortality for certain procedures. Now, they sponsor something called the HCUP, which has a family of state-level databases, state inpatient databases, so they're sometimes referred to as SID. And then we also have something that has pretty positive public health implications. That's the new birth certificate, which was revised in 2003. Fortunately, only 31 states have implemented it so far, but it does include a lot of clinical in-depth information. And then as far as, you know, voluntary reporting of group level or provider level information, nobody does that. Do you know anyone that advertises for C-section rate on their website? Nobody does that. Do you? Do you know someone?
Well, first midwife, first
two. Oh, okay. Well, that's true. Yeah, first centers and midwives are either. Yeah. That's true. They do, actually. And so just to give you a comparison, just to kind of go over quickly the benefits and limitations. So the Joint Commission quality measures. This is risk-adjusted data. This is based on administrative and clinical data, and it really gives you a good picture of practice variation within a hospital and also between hospitals because it controls for patient characteristics. And so the problem, though, the limit, is that it's voluntary. So for accreditation, it's you don't even have to report on it. So you can choose 4 of 7, and this isn't, you know, you can just omit it. It's not really an apples to apples here as far as comparing the quality measures with ARC's quality indicators because it's sort of a different structure. But those are based on, like I said, just administrative data, hospital discharge data. They're cheap, they're inexpensive to use, and they're more reliable than patient-reported data or physician-reported data. They cover large populations, they let you look at large areas, but there are no patient or physician identifiers, so you're kind of limited in the research you're going to be able to do with it. So it's there are limits, but it's good and it's cheap. and then the next, of course, the revised birth certificates. They're really possibilities for a very robust database. And the nice thing is that there's NCHS also assists in the provision of training and standardization of worksheets and stuff like that. And then we know the limits, of course, that only 31 states have implemented them so far. So we should probably talk about the ideal. one write-up, it's kind of general, but this appears in Childbirth Connections 2010 Blueprint for Action. And it's that the ideal would be a robust, evidence-based, comprehensive system for performance measurement and reporting developed and implemented with broad stakeholder participation. And I would add that this data needs to be transparent to all stakeholders and shared in a timely manner. So getting to the heart of it, is there really a need for legislative mandates for reporting? I'm sitting here with a bunch of lawyers, so, you know, I'm sure they want in on that. But we know that New York and Massachusetts do have legislative mandates in place. They were put in place in 89. And so do we need legislative mandates in each state? I mean, just thinking about all that entails and everything else, assuming that we want this information to be public, maybe, yes, unless states decide to leverage their existing resources to begin reporting maternity data, and if the Joint Commission makes it, rather than voluntary reporting, they make it mandatory. But really, since we're here talking about reproductive justice and social justice, does mandated reporting actually make the data accessible? I'm going to take you on a little tour here. So this is New York. This is New York's Department of Health website. And if you know, first of all, you have to have enough civic literacy, I suppose. It's not even a health literacy issue. You have to know that there are, you know, vital records and that your state has a Department of Health. And that might be the place where these records are kept, but I don't think that even an educated consumer even knows that. Like, I think I used to think they were at the federal level. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. So you'd have to know enough to know that a C-section rate, you might find that in stats and data. And then you might have to, you know, be able to go through this entire list and think, okay, maternity, all right, that might apply to me. But where do consumers and lay people start? We start at Google. So, if you Google, for example, I just kind of started at the top of the alphabet, a state without a legislative mandate in place, Alabama. If you Google Alabama's cesarean rates, it comes up 7th. If you want to get more specific and do a year, 2009, comes up 9th. Takes you right to a nice table, and you can see kind of down toward the bottom, it gives you C-section and VBAC for 3 years. And it takes you to a PDF that has a nice breakdown of everything. If you Google New York cesarean rates, it comes up 8th in a search. It takes you to a page, maternity information, childbirth services. And nowhere on this page, I went through all the links, and there's nothing that's linked directly to C-section rates. So, you know, if you're kind of a person that just clicks around, you might find it, but most people are probably not going to find this to be readily accessible. Although when you do get to the information, it's fantastic.
That's mandated
state, yeah. So here's one suggestion. Since we know that the state inpatient databases are there for 44 states, and we know they're cheap. We could try to push for voluntary reporting of facility-level data, using existing utilization databases to calculate total C-section rates, which is a limited measure, but it's something, and maybe posting yearly reports on state Department of Health websites with an explanation of the limitations of the data. So just knowing, this is not a perfect measure. There's nothing about total C-section rate that's going to tell you that much, let you compare between hospitals that much. But it's one piece of information. And it's wouldn't cost anything. You could leverage existing IT and admin resources. I mean, really, it's something you could send. I'll do it in 2 days. It's just a matter of spreadsheets, putting in a PDF. I'll do it if you want. But really, if facility level or provider level C-section rates were easily accessible by patients, would they be adequate for informed decision making? So what I'm going to do here for the next few slides, I'm going to use, who's familiar with the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice? Nice. Anyone else? Oh, okay, good. I'm going to use their framework for explaining geographic variation of rates and how that both impacts and reflects regional attitudes towards shared decision making and autonomy. And I think their research really complements the reproductive justice framework because it kind of provides an empirical foundation for some of the concepts that have been discussed here today. And so their definition of preference-sensitive care has to do with treatments that involve significant trade-offs affecting the patient's quality and or length of life. Well, both C-section and vaginal birth, often, you know, I've been involved in kind of the rhetoric of all this, and, you know, some sides will play down the risk of one, and they'll play down the risk of the other, and but both can have a significant long-term effects on the health of the infant and mother. We know that. And these are just, you know, I thought maybe pulling a few quotes would kind of nail this concept down on why it matters. And this came from a 2011 Dartmouth Atmos report. Why understanding practice variation matters. Thank you. So we see that location matters, especially if it's a condition that can be treated with elective surgery. And geography is destiny in healthcare in a lot of ways. And so the purpose of highlighting practice variation is to show patients and clinicians its major cause, which is that patients' preferences are not always taken into account when medical decisions are made. So this kind of follows the idea of, and kind of illuminates, I made this and tried to pull from the, what were the key concepts of the report, and kind of the flow of things. So according to Dartmouth Institute, studies that show that when patients are fully informed about their options, they often choose very differently than their provider. And so, and this is more of like a reflection of kind of the culture of the patients and maybe the area. Patients will delegate decision-making to their doctor often. They'll just turn it over. Doctor knows best. You do what's best for me. That's fine. Then doctors make the decisions for the patient. And then doctors' decisions will follow regional practice patterns. They kind of do what their peers do. They do, you know, local standard of care. And in a lot of ways, where you live is what you get. So, but with any discussion on the use of health information, data, rates, odds, risks, statistics, the elephant in the room, I think, is the lack of health literacy. And in this case, health numeracy. So removing barriers to a patient's ability to use this information really doesn't begin in a prenatal appointment. It probably begins with better math education in elementary school and secondary school. But obviously, health literacy is just it's one of many factors that put some patients at an advantage in terms of advocating for their own care, understanding medical information, weighing risk, and such. We've seen this definition a few times. So the cesarean rate is considered to be a valuable measure of quality and one of many tools that can be used in informed decision-making. And the current methods of measuring and reporting rates have unique benefits and drawbacks in terms of validity and cost. Now, facility-level data are not currently available to the public or potential patients in most states, and in those states which do report, the data are often not accessible. So even for those with high levels of health literacy, like probably most of us here, I would assume, maternity care data reporting should be accompanied with an explanation of the data, and the limits of that data, the benefits of that data, how it can be used, how will this impact my care. But we know information is a key resource needed to make informed, autonomous decisions as a patient or a healthcare consumer. So a regional facility-level breakdown of C-section rates is something that needs to be on the table for the patient to use in their decision-making process, and also for the public to see in order to evaluate the volume of the most frequently performed surgery in the country. So whether this is actualized through legislative or health system mandates or reported to the public voluntarily, pregnant women do have the right to access any information which might impact their ability to seek medical care for pregnancy in accordance with their values, preferences, and needs. So thanks very much, everyone.